I want to read to you from the scriptures. I want to take you to the way Dr. Luke closes his gospel. He's a beautiful writer. He's given us a great contribution. He just says this in verse 50 of the last chapter of Luke. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. He led them out as far as to Bethany. Well, Bethany was the town of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, wasn't it? It was one of the loveliest scenes in the whole of Holy Writ, and probably the spot of his most cherished friendship upon earth. A little village, 2 miles over the hill from Jerusalem, on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives, a dusty little street or two, several homesteads, but the fragrance of the presence of Christ seemed to linger there still. It was there that loving hearts found room for him, where there was no room in the inn. There was no room in the hearts of the people of the world around about them. But there was a place, there was a heavenly spot, and there was the appreciation of the person of the Lord Jesus when they had him there. It almost seemed as if heaven and earth touched each other. And there, in these moments together, there was the tender tones of a wonderful man, and there was the touch of God and his majesty from heaven. You see, in a world that found, that knew him not and didn't want him, he found a welcome at Bethany. He found a warmth there that he found nowhere else. It was a lovely thing. And there was this stony path. And the path led from the little home in the village, over the hill, and down to the holy city. He knew that path. He trod it often. He went up and down that path, for he loved Bethany. There was that home there, that solace there, where God and man seemed to meet together, and he trod it often in that scene. It's there we see tenderness. It's there we see his love, his tears, his joy. It's all there. And how wonderful it was that in the closing week of his life, in the last 7 days of his life, he trod that path every day 2 times. Up and down to Bethany, every one of those last 7 days. What a lovely feeling it must have been for him to have reserved the last 7 days of his life upon earth before he ascended to heaven in that lovely setting of that little village of Bethany. He was carried home to heaven from Bethany. That's very nice. Can I pause for a moment? Can I just say to you, how many dear lovely ones have done just that from here? How many of our loved ones have been taken home from this Bethany? How many from the mission fields have come here, from the homelands have been here? My own dear mother, too, amongst them, here from this place. Their last period of time spent here and then taken home. Bethany, on the slope of the Mount of Olives. You stand on that mount. You look out from it. As you look eastward, you look down across the little village of Bethany, past Bethpage, along the road to Jericho. But you turn around and you look down the western slope and you look down it. And across it, just there, is the holy city. Oh, it's awe-inspiring. Those of you who have been there will know. You're carried away when you stand on Olivet's brow. And you look out and you see there's the holy city in all its resplendent glory. And there it is. In that sandstone hue. It's all built of sandstone, the walls, the buildings within it. It's got a hue, and when the sun shines upon it, particularly in the evening, you see it is golden. No wonder they gave that hymn to us, Jerusalem the Golden. And so from there you look down. As you look down, you see on the slopes going down the western slope from Bethany top, you'll find there's a grove of olives. That's Gethsemane. That's where he wept. Tears of blood. That's where he prayed that night. You go down it further, and there at the bottom, just before the wall of the holy city, is that brook, the brook Kidron. Lovely little brook. Very small, just a trickle as it goes through the summer months. But then in winter, it comes as a raging torrent because the snow melts from the mountains, and down it flows, and the Kidron moves out through the valley of Jehoshaphat, down towards and empties into the Dead Sea. It was over the brook the Savior used to go. Every time he went up and back from Bethany into the holy city. 40 years after our Savior ascended from the mount, the Roman army pitched their tents there. And under the command of General Titus, who was the son of the Emperor Vespasian, the siege of Jerusalem began, and at AD 70, the city was sacked and destroyed. Oh, how the Hill of Olives has seemed so much. And of all the history that colours and punctuates the whole of the scene of the Mount of Olives, the most precious and the most wonderful is that he loved to go there. And our Saviour shed more tears on Olivet's brow than in anywhere else, according to Scripture. He stood there, he wept over the holy city 3 times, and then he went through the city to the other side of it, and he died for you, and he died for me. And he brought salvation to the world from that lovely setting and those tones that are there. That's why Bethany and Olivet's brow is so beautiful in the view and mind of every believer today. Well, just at this point now, let's move. Let's project our thinking ahead. Let's look ahead, and you know that this same Jesus who went up from that Olivet Mount is going to return again to the very same spot in a time to come, and it can't be very far away. He's coming again. Now, Zechariah the prophet in the closing books of the Old Testament says, "And his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem." He's coming back, and he's going to stand in the very spot where he went from. Now, remember, he went up from Bethany. He led them as far as Bethany and was taken into heaven. He went home from Bethany. He's coming back again. He's coming to the same spot where he comes from. Luke concludes his gospel with the same illustration as he begins his Acts of the Apostles. Whereas in the Acts, he says, the angels speak to the disciples, and they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, is so coming in like manner as ye have seen him go." And so the Saviour is coming back again. John speaks of it in Revelation 1. He says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, the whole world shall see him then." But you see, before he comes and sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives again, he will have come and caught up to be with him every believer in the Lord Jesus from all over the world. He will take up every Christian, every person who's been born again of the Holy Spirit, will be caught up to be with him in glory before he returns a little later to set his feet upon the mount there. It's interesting that the closing moments of his period of time on earth he spent at Bethany. It's interesting that when he comes back again and his feet stand upon the earth, it's going to be in that same pattern where he was. Luke says he led them as far as to Bethany, and he went home to heaven from there. It would appear he wanted to linger longest in the place that was so precious and meaningful to him. He went home from Bethany. This great day is coming. But you say, now, that's 2 millenniums ago. That's 2,000 years ago. What's happened? When our Savior went home, he was welcomed into heaven. The Father went out to receive him. Mark says he was received up into glory. The Father welcomes him into the heavens, and he turns to him, and he just simply says, "Sit down. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." He finished the work of salvation, the 33 years of hard and labor upon earth and suffering. He says, "Sit down." On earth he had sat down by a well, Sychar's well, thirsty and weary. But the Father says to him, "There's a throne here. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet." And he's been on the throne for 2,000 years. He's there as your advocate and mine. He's there as our great high priest. He's there interceding for us. You say, what is he doing? He wants to bring your cause to God. He wants to represent you in heaven. He wants to bring heaven out to you. He wants to cause blessings to come from the Father to your soul. It's not an easy path in this world of ours. We come across problem and difficulty and all sorts of things. The Savior's there as our intercessor. You see, just before he went to heaven, he went and stood beside those two sisters by the grave of Lazarus. And there it was in John 11 that the man of sorrows wept with those who sorrowed in the town of sorrow. Jesus wept with them. But just after he went to heaven, after he went back, Stephen, the first martyr of a newborn church, is standing, and the stones are about to fall upon him. And he looks up, and he sees the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Do you see, he was interceding and ministering before he went home to heaven. Do you see, he began his interceding and ministry as soon as he went home to heaven. He's still doing it. I love to illustrate his intercession. If we're talking about two harps, two instruments. Put a harp in this corner of this room of ours. Put a harp in that corner down there. The musician plucks the strings of this harp, and that instrument over there blends in perfect harmony with this one. You see, when the child of God upon earth is in suffering or in pain, the agony is felt in heaven. The moment a believer upon earth has their heart strings plucked in pain, our great high priest stands and he ministers to our need. There's ne'er a pang that rends the heart that the man of sorrows bears apart. He's interceding. He wants to take your cause to the Father. He wants to bring heaven out to you. That's his work. That's almost his Bethany work. How lovely to have a name like that, associated with Bethany Christian Care, as we have it in this particular scene. There's a man in the glory. He loves you. He wants to take your case to the Father. He wants to intercede for you, and he wants to bring the blessing of heaven back to you. Well, the day's coming. He's coming again. It's a promise in Scripture. Do you know the promise of the coming again of the Lord Jesus? It runs like a silver cord right throughout the whole of the Bible. It begins in Genesis 3:15. It wraps all the books of the Bible together, and it concludes in Revelation 22:20 with "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And as you read through the pages of Holy Writ, you almost breathe an air of optimism that God is going to be triumphant. The Lord Jesus is going to come. He's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is he yours? What a lovely time to have had with you here at Bethany today. It's a wonderful Thanksgiving, a jubilee. Think of the wonderful Thanksgiving there must have been in heaven when they welcomed the Savior home. Think of the joy whenever a soul trusts Christ in heaven, and then when a believer is taken home. Well, the time's coming. I think I like just to conclude with this. And when our eyes, now dim, shall open to behold the King, and ears, now dull with age, shall hear the harps of heaven ring, and on the head, now hoary, shall be placed the crown of gold, then shall be known the lasting joy of never growing old. May God bless his word. Amen.